So normally we would be doing a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. However, today is a very auspicious day, and who knows what it is? What is this auspicious day?
Prabhupada goes to America, arrives.
Prabhupada arrives in America, yes. So in the annals of history, if they were recorded concisely, not according to mundane scholars or other so-called intellectuals, this would be most probably the most historical event to ever take place. Now we are a byproduct of that historical event, and we are so very fortunate to be here today to listen to Srila Prabhupada's efforts to bring this Krishna consciousness movement to all of us. So this is the day on which Srila Prabhupada arrived in the United States. And from the very beginning, Srila Prabhupada's intentions were always to go to America. I must go to America. However, generally, others who preceded Srila Prabhupada, they would always want to go to London. So who has some idea as to why their choice would be London rather than America?
Best travel.
No. No, 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 no. Because the Indians had become spoiled and manipulated by the British for how many years? 100 years? 200 years. So in their mind, what was their consciousness? British. Go to England. Yes, that's proper. But Srila Prabhupada had different intentions. He wanted to go to America. And he was always trying to make plans on how he should go to get to America from India. There are many routes which he could have gone by. He's thinking, which would be the fastest? Should I go by way of Tokyo? Should I go this way? Should I go that way? Which way would be the cheapest? And always Prabhupada's thoughts were making these plans on how he would eventually get to America. Another thing that Srila Prabhupada always did, whenever he would meet somebody, even if it's a casual encounter, for the first time, he would tell them, I have plans, I want to go to America, I am going to go to America. So on one particular day, Srila Prabhupada met a gentleman by the name of Mr. Agarwal. And where was Mr. Agarwal from?
India.
Duh. He was from, what's the next town from here? Mathura. Yes, to say he's from India, that's a kind of silly retort. And he was a businessman. And Srila Prabhupada told him and mentioned to him just in passing that as he did with everyone he met, that he wanted to go to the West. He wanted to go to the West for a vacation. No. He wanted to go to the West to fulfill the desires of his Guru Maharaj for spreading Krishna consciousness. And even though Mr. Agrawal had only known Srila Prabhupada for a very short time, even a few minutes, he volunteered to help Srila Prabhupada get sponsorship to go to America. So you can see here who's intervening in this encounter. Who is intervening? Krishna. Yes. So they say, as man proposes, God disposes. And if your intentions are to serve Krishna, he will facilitate. So therefore, here comes Mr. Agrawal, whom Srila Prabhupada didn't know, and he volunteers to help Prabhupada go to America. So how amazing, just this one incident. This is such an amazing incident that you can see how potent and powerful the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, and how he can manipulate the material energy in such a way that it benefits his devotees. Mr. Agrawal had a son. His son's name was Gopal. Yes, a good name, Gopal. And where did he live? He lived in Pennsylvania. And what was his job? He was an engineer, yes. And Mr. Agrawal says, my son will help you get sponsorship to go to America. So Prabhupada, okay. You know, so far, this is a brief encounter with a newly acquaintance, and Prabhupada didn't meditate on that, proposal. He continued thinking on how he was going to get to America. And one of his main concerns was that if Prabhupada was going to go to America, what is one important thing that he would need? Yes, he would need, what is this? He would need money. And his plan to get money was what? To sell his books. And which book did he have? He had the Srimad Bhagavatam, yes. So this was his newly printed Bhagavatam. And so he went to Bombay, and in Bombay, Prabhupada was always very frugal, because he would watch his pennies and his paisa very carefully, not wanting to waste anything on unnecessary expenses. So he stayed at a dharmshala, which was called Prem Kutir, and he stayed there because it was free. He didn't have to spend any money. He didn't have to spend any money to stay in this dharmshala. But now, the difficult thing was to find customers. So Srila Prabhupada went to a gentleman, his Pramananda Bhagwani. He worked at one university, and he bought books for their libraries. And Prabhupada and he made an arrangement that this gentleman would take Prabhupada to different places, and they could make inquiries if people wanted to buy his books. So they went to first all of the prominent bookstores and to the universities, and they met with no success. So why is this? Why weren't they successful in selling Prabhupada's books? Because nobody wanted to read about God. We're living in a godless society. They weren't interested in reading Bhagavad Dharma. No. So the bookstores, the universities stocked their shelves with mundane literatures. And so in this attempt, Srila Prabhupada was unsuccessful to sell his books and to make enough money. So he left Bombay and returned to New Delhi, to Delhi at that time. I guess it was Delhi. And when he arrived in Delhi, he was very surprised because he had received a communication from the External Affairs Ministry. And so what were they in charge of at that time? Perhaps now you don't have to go through so much difficulty, but the External Affairs was a part of the government where they would show if there was any objection to a person leaving India and traveling to the West. And for Srila Prabhupada, he had received a letter saying that there was no objection for him to leave India. So why did he all of a sudden get this letter saying that there was no objection for him leaving? Who knows? Because the young man in what town? Butler, Pennsylvania. His name was? Huh? Gopal. Yes, don't forget Gopal. Never forget Gopal. Yes, Gopal had sent a letter to the embassy in New York saying that he would be responsible for Srila Prabhupada's maintenance and care when he arrived in America. So Prabhupada was kind of surprised because on his own he had made no effort to secure these types of documents, but they were there waiting for him. And so there again we can see whose hand is at play here? Krishna. Krishna, yes, let me help you more. Here is the papers for you to give you permission to go to America. No objection. So that was wonderful news for Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada had done no correspondence, and he didn't know this boy, Gopal, but still he had received permission. So after getting the permission to go to America, Prabhupada next needed a passport. So for him, getting a passport wasn't a very difficult endeavor. And a friend by the name of Krishna Pandit helped Prabhupada to get this document, this passport. And after getting his passport, he had to fill in the passport. So what do you think he had to fill in the passport? Now you don't write anything except your signature. But back then, you had to fill in everything by hand, because they didn't have the technology, the laser printers and things as they do today. But Srila Prabhupada had to write in his address. And what address did he put in his passport? The Radhakrishna Temple in Chipwandi. And he wrote his father's name. Who is his father? that's his spiritual father, but he has a material, Goramohan Day. So he very carefully wrote these things in his passport. And we all know Sri Prabhupada has such beautiful penmanship. And any of you that have seen copies of his original passport, oh yes, you can take pleasure in his very beautiful scroll of his signature. He also, because Krishna Pandit was helping him, he asked him to help pay. Okay, now I got my passport. Would you pay for my ticket? So this person, of course, he didn't agree to this. He gave several reasons. No, it's not proper for a sadhu to leave India and go there. And then under his breath, he was saying, oh, besides, it's very expensive. And so suddenly for someone to ask you to pay passage to go to the United States, you know, this was a big expense. So now Srila Prabhupada's main concern was he had his passport, he had a letter of recommendation where his sponsorship in the United States would be fulfilled. He needed a ticket to go to the United States. So where did he go? He went back to Bombay. And he didn't go there this time to sell books, but he wanted a ticket. And the generous woman who originally supported Prabhupada for printing his books was Srimati Murariji. Yes, so he went back to her to get and ask for a ticket. So why would he go to her?
She's got connections. She has money.
What's her business? Yes, she owns a shipping company. So who else should he go to? She is the ideal candidate to provide him what he needs. So Srila Prabhupada went to Srimati Murariji's office and he met with Mr. Chokis, who was Srimati Murariji's secretary. And Srila Prabhupada showed him his passport and his document saying that he was not obligated and would be sponsored while he was staying in America. And he felt very encouraged. So he went into Srimati Murariji's office and he was speaking with her and he told her, I'm sure he said, Madame, he didn't say boss or whatever, but probably Madame, that Swamiji that you gave a donation to print his books, he's back again, and this time he wants a ticket to go to America. And of course, immediately Srimati Murariji's response was, he's too old to go to the United States. And what does he expect to accomplish by going there? So the messenger came out from her office and he relayed the message that Srimati Murariji had given to him to Srila Prabhupada. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada was very disappointed, seeing him as being just an old man and not able to go. So she told him that he should stay in India and complete his Srimad Bhagavatam, because at that time he had already published how many volumes? How many cantos? No. He printed one canto in three volumes. So she said that he should stay here in India and finish the Srimad Bhagavatam, which comes in how many cantos? 12 cantos. But Srila Prabhupada was resolute in his determination, and he was determined that he was going to go to America. So he told this secretary to go in again and convince her that she should provide him with a ticket to go to the United States. Again, he went in and he met with other types of commentary on how Prabhupada was too old and it wasn't feasible or advisable for her to send him to the United States. So Srila Prabhupada's determination was so strong, he told him that I'm not getting anywhere by speaking through you. I want to have a personal meeting with Srimati Maharaji. So again the message was delivered. Shri Gornitai, Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Radha Shama Sundar, Lalita Vishaka Devi. So, Prabhupada's demands were being refuted and discarded, so he demanded that he speak with Srimati Morarji personally. But she was very concerned. She continued to say, "You are taking too much responsibility. You are too old. Do you think it's all right for you to go to the United States?" And then he just sort of discarded her concern and says, "No, I will reassure you." And lifting his hand like this, as if he was speaking to a doubting daughter, because of course she was younger than Prabhupada, "Don't worry, I'll be all right." But Srimati Maharaji again replied, "But do you know what my secretaries think?" So what did they think? How about you? Yes, what did Srimati Maharaji's secretaries think? He would die in America. "Oh, Swamiji, you're so old. You go to America and die." Prabhupada again, "Foolish thought. Don't think like that. I will not die." And finally, his words penetrated into the heart of Srimati Maharaji, and she reluctantly agreed to give Srila Prabhupada a ticket. And finally she said, "All right, you get your P form and I will make an arrangement to send you to the United States on one of our ships." So the P form, I don't know if you still use this in India, but at that time it was a letter from the Bank of India making a declaration that you don't have any outstanding debts here in India. So they didn't want people to, you know, go bankrupt, owe people crores of rupees, and then run away to some foreign country. So they had to be cleared by the Bank of India. And this proved to be a little bit more difficult to get than many of the other documents that Srila Prabhupada had applied for. And during this time when he was making his application for this P form, he also needed a visa to go to America. And because he already had sponsorship in America, this proved to be not so much of a difficulty. So during this time, while Prabhupada was going through all of these processes to get his documents in order, he was allowed to stay in the compound of Srimati Murariji's Sindhya steamship company. And of course, it became a novelty or a rarity that a sadhu was now living amongst all of the employees of the Sindhya steamship company. And they were very impressed because they knew that this old man, he was taking on the challenge of leaving the comforts of India and going to such a faraway place with nothing, because they knew he has no money, he has nothing. All he has are a few trunk loads of books. No clothes, no money, nothing but just books. So this was his determination. So they began to take an interest in him, and every day many of the residents who were concerned would bring him rice, dal, sabjis, fruits, and he would have such an abundance that he couldn't eat everything they gave him. So what did he do? What did he do? He made it and he distributed it to first the children and then the residents, and they would come regularly to eat his prasad. So Srila Prabhupada was the first person to start prasadam distribution in ISKCON. Hari Bol. And other residents would gather regularly to listen to Srila Prabhupada discuss from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there was one individual, his name was Vasudeva, and he was the chief cashier. He became particularly impressed, and he came regularly to learn from Srila Prabhupada, and he was so interested that he was one of the very first persons to buy Srila Prabhupada's first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and began reading this books regularly in his home. And even Miss Murarji took such an interest that she would ask Prabhupada to come to her home, and every evening about 6 o'clock she would send a car and bring Srila Prabhupada to her residence, and there Prabhupada would read from the Srimad Bhagavatam and discuss the verse, the purport he would give, and this continued every night for almost 2 weeks. But for Srila Prabhupada, the biggest obstacle still remained what? Getting his P form. So Mrs. Murarji's concern for Prabhupada went beyond just helping him with the ticket, but she was also concerned for his health and his well-being. So Srila Prabhupada was a sadhu, and What type of possessions do sadhus keep? Two pieces of cloth, right? Maybe some light sandals. So in this way, she knew that Srila Prabhupada was going to the United States, which, especially in New York, in winter time is very, very cold. So she bought him a woolen jacket. She gave money to her secretary to go out and buy him these things, a woolen jacket and a cap. So many of you have seen the picture of Prabhupada with that cap, blue color, a little cap that comes down over the ears and a blue jacket. So for me, this was the very first picture I got of Srila Prabhupada, him dressed like this, wearing his jacket and his cap and his cane, walking along the streets. So I still have that picture. I'm keeping it until I die. And she gave 250 rupees for her secretary to spend on Srila Prabhupada. So that's a lot of money in those days. 250 rupees was quite a bit. You could go to a very fancy restaurant and for 10 rupees get a all-you-can-eat thali of prasadam, or not prasadam, but food. So it was like that. So time is still passing by. Srila Prabhupada was waiting for his ticket to be confirmed. And then on one day, Srimati Murariji confirmed that on the 13th of August, from Calcutta ports, one of her ships, which was called the Jaladuta, would be leaving for the United States. And Srila Prabhupada was given a ticket, which included also food. And Mrs. Murarji's concern was also that she be put on a ship where the captain would have concern for the needs of, first, a vegetarian, second, for a person of Brahminical stature, and she chose the captain of the Jaladut, Arun Pandi. So he was a very pious gentleman, and he was advised that he should carry extra vegetables and extra fruits for the needs of Srila Prabhupada. And now it's about 2 weeks before Srila Prabhupada's departure, and he has already gone to Calcutta. So where is Srila Prabhupada from? He is from Calcutta, but Srila Prabhupada says that even though he had lived much of his life in the city, when he got to Calcutta, he had nowhere to stay. Why is that? Why doesn't he go home? He can't. He can't go back to his house. He can't stay with his wife. He can't, because he has accepted the renounced order of life. Yes. So he had written, as he did many times, many nice verses. He said in one of his Vrindavan bhajans, "I have my wife, my son, daughters, grandson, everything, but I have no money, so they are of fruitless glory." So having all of these things, unable to provide, it's like trees that don't bear any fruit, so they were no good. And it's just all of these things, they have They have gone forever. They're no more a part of my life. My loving father, my loving mother, all of my friends, my children, they are all gone. All I have left is a list of names. So just this list of names. So none of these people could help Srila Prabhupada at this dire time. So what did he do? Who did he approach for assistance? Who knows Bhattacharya? So Mr. Bhattacharya was, it's described, a flamboyant kirtan man. So he wasn't a disciple of Prabhupada. He wasn't even a close friend. But Srila Prabhupada approached him and said that he needed a place to stay and he wanted to give lectures. So Bhattacharya, oh yes, I will arrange for lectures, I will sing my bhajans, and you can speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. And I'll let you stay in my residence. So Bhattacharya wasn't exactly a pakka Vaishnava. He had some Mayavadi tendencies, and so when Prabhupada would speak, normally he would wait till after the lecture when they were commuting back to his house. Oh, I don't agree with this, I don't agree with this. And then Srila Prabhupada very determinately would tell him, you shut up, you don't know anything. So in this way they would argue back and forth. And there was one other place that Srila Prabhupada had to go before he left India. And who knows where Srila Prabhupada went. Yes, Srila Prabhupada went to Mayapur. So what's in Mayapur for Srila Prabhupada? The samadhi of his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, yes. So he left Calcutta, he went to Mayapur, he, of course, offered his prayers to his Guru Maharaj and prayed for his blessings, that his efforts would be successful. So when Srila Prabhupada returned to Calcutta, he kept anticipating his departure and he kept checking his meager possessions, his little suitcase with his few possessions. He had an umbrella, he had this, he had that. At this point, he didn't have his books. Where were his books? Yes, his books. Anyway, we'll come to that point in a second. But he kept, it says that he had an umbrella and he had a small supply of dried cereal because he didn't know what to expect as far as food was concerned in America. America is a ravaged, rampant, meat-eating society, carnivores with blood dripping out of their mouth, you know. And he said that I am willing to starve if I have to. But still he had a small amount of cereal, not like cornflakes that you buy, like this probably flat rice or something like this. And he was ready. Okay, now everything is ready. And so his main baggage, which were his books, were being handled separately by Scindia Steamship Line, and they were to be picked up at one of the stops that this boat made on its way to America. So, as we know, these Srimad Bhagavatams came in three volumes, and so for myself, I was so very lucky that the very first books that I got when I joined ISKCON, because there were no other books available, was one set of Srimad Bhagavatams. The devotees gave this to me, and I was, you know, spaced out, unintelligent hippie, and they told us, this is what we study. This is our Bible. So I look at the books, oh my gosh. But looking at the pictures on the cover, and who knows, what is the picture on the cover of Srimad Bhagavatam? All of the spiritual world, yes. And so immediately any questions or confusions that I had about this material world, who was God, Srila Prabhupada had answered almost in the first 10 pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam any questions that had risen, any doubts in my mind. And so I became so satisfied and happy that my questions were now being fulfilled. At this date, it was August 13th, and it was a few days before Janmashtami. And what is Janmashtami? The appearance day of Lord Krishna. And the day after Janmashtami is? Yes, the birth of our Guru Maharaj. And on this particular birthday of Sri Prabhupada, how old was he going to be? Huh? 69 years old. He was going to be 69 years old. And at this advanced age, most sadhus, they wanted to remain in Vrindavan. Why is that? It's because it's the life of the devotee, the Vaishnava, to be able to leave their body in Vrindavan, because what is guaranteed if you leave your body in Vrindavan? To go back home, back to Godhead. So they wouldn't leave. But this 69-year-old man, he is venturing out into uncharted territories to fulfill the wishes of his Guru Maharaj, leaving the comforts and the serenity of Sri Vrindavan Dham to fulfill his Guru Maharaj's wishes. So when Prabhupada was getting ready to board the ship, he took a taxi down to the docks, and a few acquaintances he brought with him, and he brought one of his sons, Vrindavan Das, and they watched him board this cargo ship, the Jaladuta. So it's a little bit difficult to give an very accurate description of what is a cargo ship. What does a cargo ship do? It carries cargo. And Usually a cargo ship, they will have one berth, which is a little bit comfortable, and they rent this for passengers. So I don't know how many of you have had the chance to ride on a ship. Yes, what kind of ship? A luxury liner? Yeah, yeah, so nice, you know. With tennis courts and swimming pool and things. But this was not the case. And so myself, I have experience. I left Hong Kong on a cargo ship on my way back to Malaysia. I, like Prabhupada, was given a berth, a nice, comfortable suite. But this cargo ship was owned by China. And at that time, China was a communist dominated country. And so Mao Zedong was in charge of China. So in the harbor, in the Hong Kong harbor, the ship looked very nice, and majority of the passengers had to stay below deck. They couldn't come up. And as soon as the ship left the port, every picture, like we have pictures here, they turned them over, and on the other side, if it was a picture of a waterfall, on the other side was Mao Zedong. Everywhere, pictures of Mao Zedong holding his little red book, and they blasted communist propaganda over and over and over again with such loudspeakers. So, in this way, cargo ships are not necessarily the most comfortable environment. So, for this point, Srila Prabhupada was not the first sannyasi to leave India and go to America. There had been others. Most of these were all Mayavadi sannyasis. But the Gaudiya Vaishnava lineage, Srila Prabhupada was the very first. I have so many more things to say, but I'll try to condense it. Srila Prabhupada began keeping a journal of activities that happened while he was making this journey. His ship first stopped in Ceylon. Where is Ceylon? Ceylon is in Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka. And then after Ceylon, where did it go? Where was his books? Cochin. Went to Cochin, and they got Srila Prabhupada's books. And then it went into the Arabian Sea. And then Srila Prabhupada stopped at Asid. I think that was the name of the town. I forget which country it is. But he and the captain of the ship would go on excursions. And we know that Srila Prabhupada didn't do so well with his health on these the sea voyage, the turbulence of the ocean, his age, so many things contributed to him experiencing two heart attacks. And these two heart attacks very nearly cut short Srila Prabhupada's life. And he said that if Krishna had not intervened and I would have had one more attack, I'm sure that I wouldn't have survived this journey. So Prabhupada had one book with him that he had brought. What book was that? Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he would take pleasure in reading about the pastimes and activities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And through his difficulties, just reading about Lord Chaitanya brought peace to his mind, and his heart became filled with joy and happiness. And he was able to finally continue on the journey and arrive in Boston. So the dates are a little different, but part of this journey is that Srila Prabhupada had a dream while he was on the Jaladuta. When the seas were turbulent, what did he see in this dream? Don't speculate. What did he see? Krishna was rowing a boat. And what did Krishna say? Don't worry. Just get in my boat and I will take you safely across this ocean so you can fulfill your destiny. So this is the third dream that Srila Prabhupada had. I gave a class the other day. Who remembers? What did I speak about? You don't remember. What did you have for lunch yesterday? Do you remember? Do you remember? What did you eat for lunch? What are the four defects of human existence? You're going to commit mistakes. You're going to be forgetful. You're going to be illusioned. And you're going to cheat others. So you don't remember. I can't remember what I ate. I spoke about Srila Prabhupada taking sannyas. And in this, I said that he had two dreams. And in both dreams, what was... It was Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj Bhaktisiddhanta telling him to take sannyas. And so now Krishna is coming in his dream and telling him not to worry. So how many of you had dreams with Krishna in the dreams giving you instructions? Have you had dreams where Krishna comes to you and gives you advice? Now why is that? Where is Krishna situated? And he's in everyone's heart. And what is he constantly doing? He is instructing you. But what are you doing? La, 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 la. I don't want to hear. I want to do something else. La, la, la. So when Krishna speaks to you, you listen. Because he will save you at the most difficult times. So Prabhupada at this time, he had no more concerns. His health, the Atlantic Ocean had become calm, where it's normally very turbulent, and Srila Prabhupada safely sailed the rest of his journey. He was able to cook prasadam. Normally he made khichdi. His only difficulty was he felt great separation from Vrindavan Dham. But where is Vrindavan? It's in his heart. So so on this day, Srila Prabhupada's ship arrived in Boston Harbor, and his destination was New York. But always the first destination, when you arrive in a foreign country, you have to get clearance from immigration and customs. So in Boston, Srila Prabhupada went through this, and he got a big chop in his passport, allowing him to stay in the United States for how long? 3 months. He was allowed to stay. And now Prabhupada was in America, and his mission is just beginning. So, because we don't have time, please meditate upon all of these wonderful things. That Srila Prabhupada had to endure to have us be able to sit here together. Devotees from every country, from all over the world, and relish the wonderful life of being a Vaishnava. So, any questions or comments? I hope everyone will make an effort to be as dedicated and sincere and determined as Srila Prabhupada was in order to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Most of you are all young boys. You have the ability to do so many wonderful things, but all you have to do is step forward and say, I will do it. Don't become complacent or lazy, but be determined to do something spectacular. Prabhupada was 70 years old, and he accomplished so many things. If you're 30 years old, or 25 years old, or 40 years old, your life is just beginning. And you have the ability to do miraculous, wonderful things. And who is there telling you, don't worry?
Prabhupada.
Prabhupada and Krishna. Krishna is there. So don't worry. Everything will be fine. Because Krishna says, always think of me. Become my devotee. And then what does Krishna guarantee to do? Protect you. So fearlessness is one of the attributes of a good Vaishnava. So become fearless of any trouble that may be waiting for you around the corner. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Okay. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for the wonderful experience of Prabhupada. Yesterday I was listening to Prime Minister. He was appreciating Vivekananda who went to America.
He was appreciating?
Vivekananda, Swami Vivekananda, who went to America. He wrote some poems and was saying his business. I was feeling so bad. How can you appreciate Prabhupada? Prabhupada
Yes, that situation when most people think, oh, immediately Ramakrishna and Vivekananda. But Vivekananda was nonsense rascal number one. That's because if he's preaching to ignorant people, then the outcome will not be successful. So we've had many encounters with Vivekananda. Vivekananda ate meat. You know, so he's a rascal number one. I mean, there's less kind words, but Prabhupada referred to him as a rascal number one. So in Prabhupada's books, rascals are very bad people. So just as long as you don't become fooled. Yes. So those that have less intelligence will be cheated. So there are the cheater and the cheated. And Vivekananda was a cheater number one, following in the footprints of his Guru Maharaj, who? Ramakrishna. Yes. So now we are lucky. We don't have a cheater, we have a savior. Yes. So Hare Krishna.
His Grace Gopal Prabhu ki.